Good Monday morning. Welcome back to your work week. Brady Bowman with you here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. And we have Dr. Timothy Schaefer in studio with us. He's the Assistant Professor of Communication Studies at KSU, also the Assistant Director of the much-needed K-State Institute for Civil Discourse and Democracy. And we were talking about the March for Our Lives protests and movement that really has been going ever since the Parkland shooting. But they had their biggest march event last Saturday. There were some marches all around the country, communities here in Kansas, across the country. And we were talking over break about what is it about this movement that's so different in the past, when we've had plenty of school shootings before Parkland and they haven't had this sort of response. You'd think that after Sandy Hook with, I think 27, I think is the number, maybe around 30, most of them very young children that mm-hmm. were massacred and slaughtered, and we didn't have the response then like we're having now. Just wondering your take on what is it about now that's so different?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I mean, it's something that for those who have been advocating for this movement for quite a while are probably finally glad to see it, right? And others are maybe just intrigued since it is happening now. Probably the biggest thing is in contrast to Sandy Hook, for example, which was primarily affected kindergartners, is that their peers weren't able to come out and speak, right? I have a kindergarten daughter, and I don't see her going out and kind of being a spokesperson for a movement. Something that makes this a little different is that, right, we are now in an environment where you have a lot of capabilities to utilize technology, social media, these things to kind of get your voice out and spread, right? I mean, that's how, I mean, importantly to say, the march on, particularly on D.C., but as it happened around the country, was led by young people, but also there was some significant infrastructure around it as well, sympathetic supporters, right? So, what made this difference was that these were some young people who are, frankly, I think, as they keep saying, right, really fed up, and kind of the slogan, kind of, this is enough. It's different when those who are most directly affected, the people who were sheltering in their classrooms or hiding under desks or in closets, texting their parents saying, they love them and those kinds of things. If they're the ones who are coming out as the spokespeople for that movement, that's something quite different in contrast to following, somewhat of the expected movement of an incident happens. We have kind of talking heads, people who go on to news stations and kind of speak of, for and against and why this policy, why this would work or why this wouldn't work, those kinds of things. And we're seeing a bit of a disruption of that kind of flow, that expected kind of model of engagement around the issue. And so that's part of what's making this so interesting. As someone who studies and is interested in these kinds of social movements, the idea of public discourse, this is really intriguing, the fact that 17, 18-year-olds took to Washington, D.C. on Saturday and, by all accounts, had massive numbers in attendance there and people viewing and watching elsewhere. Part of what has made it possible for them to do what they're doing is that they have individually and collectively taken kind of a stand and said, we're going to do this, in contrast to following kind of the expected flow of having the elected officials come out and advocate for their particular positions, right? So I think that's probably been one of the most striking things, because as I often thought about that, of like, regardless of your views on the topic, Sandy Hook would have been one of those moments. And there were some critics from around the globe who said, the fact that there wasn't a more substantive response to Sandy Hook kind of spoke to where the positions were. So I think people, by and large, had accepted this to be kind of the normal of American society, and these students from Parkland, Florida, are trying to disrupt that, right? Kind of throw off the typical ways that we respond to these types of incidents, and so it'll be interesting to see what the staying power is. I mean, that's the intrigue of this beyond this kind of moment. We've been a month now. Where does it dissipate? Does it continue? Right, that's where it will be really curious from a standpoint of observing this and looking at it through that lens.
Brady Bowman here with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, the Assistant Professor of Communication Studies at KSU, also the Assistant Director of the K-State Institute for Civil Discourse and Democracy. And I think the other intrigue of these students and how they're really kind of leading this movement is that it really kind of flies in the face of the stereotypes of the younger generation. I guess this is Generation Z is what they're called. It's not the millennial generation. Yeah, it's a younger one now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does kind of fly in the face of those stereotypes where you're like, oh, kids don't care. Kids are too lazy. They're too busy staying home on their video games. These are kids, or they're not engaged in their community. This flies in the face of all that. These are kids that are very engaged in their community. These are kids that understand the legislation. They know exactly who their senators and congresspeople are. They know who their local leaders are. They're very engaged and very out of the house and doing stuff.
Well, I mean, to the point that the caller's comment a little while ago about elected officials working for people. Yes, I totally agree, and I think that citizen-centered politics can take many forms. We saw it emerge pretty significantly, you know, in the early 2010s with the Tea Party movement. This, to the political right. And now we're seeing some of this kind of energy, a little bit of fervor around a particular issue, right? But it'll be interesting to see if it kind of cascades into other areas, other topics. Maybe obviously more politically to the left, maybe more center. I'm not sure exactly the entire composition here, but it's a moment that we're kind of viewing one of these important shifts of, I mean, especially from the critique of particularly of young people being disengaged in civic life. A number of colleagues at places like Circle at Tufts University who report on civic youth engagement, seeing a level of energy and excitement around these kinds of things, because frankly, I mean, as these young people were saying on Saturday, like, I'm tired of seeing my siblings, my friends, my classmates being shot. Here we are, right? This is what brings them to the fore. And for those who are, as the caller kind of said before, interested in this idea of political life being primarily shaped by ordinary men and women, here it is.
And again, if you want to get involved in the conversation, 75-537-1350 is the number to call if you have a question or comment for Dr. Schaefer, again, Assistant Professor of Communication Studies at KSU. And, you know, the other side of this, this coin, and maybe you brought it up, I think maybe we talked about it off air a little bit, when it comes to these kids taking these stances, it's maybe a little, and because it's not the typical MO of just, you know, talking heads and elected officials and these just kind of established adults that are always part of conversation, they're, for both sides of the issue, they're both very easy to criticize each other.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about high school kids who are from the school and maybe saw their friends die, saw the bodies of their friends on the classroom, they're a little harder to criticize, although you see people still try, it's still a harder point. Like, you think the NRA in this whole issue is maybe having kind of a tough time of how exactly do they position themselves to, it's hard for them not to have it's easy for them to have a bad look if they go too hard on criticizing these kids.
Yeah, I mean, this is an intriguing case study for either an advocacy or lobby group, really trying to figure out how do they do their own messaging when in fact the kind of the ordinary way of doing things is not what's happening right now. And so it's disrupting, I mean, particularly right in this case for the National Rifle Association.
Because you can demonize Nancy Pelosi, you can demonize Paul Ryan, but when you're going to try and demonize a Parkland student, that's a little different thing.
It doesn't work as well, and there seems to be more of a blowback. So this is, I mean, this is part of what, you know, back to the social movements kind of moment. We have these kind of glimpses of a different way of thinking about kind of political life and how do we attend to those kind of concerns.
We do have another phone call. Caller, you are on In Focus. Go ahead.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Why do we even let them talk about it when half of them don't know the difference between a fully automatic weapon, a semi-automatic, a bolt action, or a pump action? And I've absolutely heard nobody talk about maybe the major problem is the morality teaching in the families.
And them, when you say them, who are you talking about?
The parents and the kids. You know, half of them after the shooting, they got on there and called the weapons, you know, automatic weapons. They weren't automatic weapons. It's been illegal to own automatic weapons in the United States unless you had a special license. And 90% of the people that have the special license are police officers. And, you know, I just think if we're going to have a discussion about it, let's have an honest discussion and bring up everything. And I'll just get off here and I'll listen to you.
No, thanks for your comment. I can't speak as kind of the spokesperson for these young people, but I think the way, at least how they're speaking about it, I'll put it this way, is that regardless of whether we're talking about clips or we're talking about semi-automatic, whatever it might be, that fundamentally these are weapons that are being utilized in situations and scenarios that are killing young people. So I think I've heard it spoken, not necessarily on Saturday, but in some of the interviews and things leading up to it, that it doesn't really matter what the brand or the model is if it has the capacity to significantly fire rapidly, right? The nomenclature matters a little less. But to your point, and I would agree with what you're saying, we need to understand the complexity of the issue of the nuance of what are we talking about when we're talking about guns, because this is where these kind of conversations can be very easily very divisive and very very much a non-starter, that people don't feel that their perspectives and experiences are being heard, whether it's as I'm hearing you, and I don't want to put words into your mouth, especially now that you're not on the air, but more sympathetic of the need to understand weapons, how to use them, how to manage them, these types of things. And those who would say we should just eradicate these things, right? We need to have space where we can understand the nuance, the issues that are at play here. And that's part of, a lot of the work that I do and what I teach about is around public discourse and discussion. And being able to bring the multiple perspectives to that conversation is really critical, because it doesn't help us if we're sloppy with how we're talking about things, how we're defining things, in either way or in any way. So the understanding of the complexity of this issue or any issue is of utmost importance. But I think the students, a quick response is just that they would say, I don't care what kind of gun it is that's murdered my classmates and my friends or my siblings. I want to see something done.
And I think another thing to add to that, just kind of real quick, is that as far as the responsibility of the kids being, I think the kids that are speaking out are not necessarily saying that we're going to write all the bills and we're going to decide how it's all going to go. It really just seems like they're just asking for serious, like the caller just said, like that sort of serious look at all the different issues. They're really just kind of demanding Congress to really look at these issues from all angles and give it attention.
And as a number of them said on Saturday, like, here is a moment we're advocating for, for them, saying we're advocating for our position, our particular position, and, a number of us are going to be voting this election cycle. So utilizing the systems that are in place is nothing different than anybody else advocating for a particular position, whatever it might be. And so I think this is where it's significant to observe this from a political movement kind of lens, rather than I'm for this or against this. And that's partly where I situate as someone who kind of studies and looks at these things from that perspective, that this is a big moment, in the same way that those who are supportive of this are very excited about it, and those who aren't are obviously, in some of the opposition. But we've seen movements happen to the left and right that align with this kind of idea of people saying, hey, enough is enough, whatever it might be, whether it's about taxes, whether it's about gun violence. And so we're in that moment right now.
Right. It seems like these kids understand that they're not going to be elected in 2018, but they're asking for people to look at the issue seriously.
Right. Seriously. Saying so. They're going to vote for certain people.
We'll take a break. I think we maybe got some phone calls to get to on the other side. We'll come back with Dr. Timothy Schaefer here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S.